This is the Tan Talk Radio Network. This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And I want to give a special shout out and thank you to
Rita Moreau, the author of the Ghost in the Camper Kooky Mystery Series, who is our guest host today. Take it away, Rita.
Good morning out there in Radio Land and beyond. I am thrilled to be sitting in for Patsy. There's some big shoes to fill as our guest host today. And, drum roll please, chatting with my first guest, one of my favorite authors. Okay, let's just get this out of the way. He's my favorite author. He's the New York Times, USA Today, Amazon best-selling author of the critically acclaimed courtroom drama series featuring San Francisco criminal defense lawyers Mike Daly and Rosie Fernandez, two of the most beloved characters in contemporary crime fiction. Welcome, Mr. Sheldon Siegel.
Well, hi, Rita. Nice to hear from you.
It's nice to hear from you, too, to actually hear your voice. I'm so excited to be chatting with you. How is it out there in San Francisco land?
Well, like always in San Francisco, it's a little overcast, a little foggy, but by the middle of the day, it'll clear up and the sun will come out. And we're actually very excited because we had a little rain over the weekend.
Ooh.
We always celebrate rain. Until we get too much of it, then we get worried about, well, mudslides and floods and other stuff.
All that stuff. Well, look, I am just so excited to be chatting with you. I'm a big fangirl of yours. And I have to tell you, you have the most amazing website. And for those of you like me, an aspiring writer, new to writing, go to Sheldon's website at sheldonsiegel.com and especially explore your frequently asked questions. And I understand your wife is very talented and a big part of your writing life.
Yes, my wife, Linda, is the brains behind the whole operation.
And I
have been married for almost 35 years now, and she and I met at UC Berkeley in the early 80s, and she got her degree in computer science and spent 25 years working for George Lucas on some of the biggest movies of all time.
Cool.
So if you've done special effects for 25 years, you know, figuring out how to put together a website wasn't all that complicated. And she's very good at what she does. We're very grateful.
And she allows you to do what you do best, writing, and writing the special series with some of my favorite characters. I feel like they're part of my family. And, you know, you have the coolest link on your website. It's like Mike and Rosie's San Francisco. You click on a link, and it'll take you to a place that has appeared in one of your 13 books. And in Mike's words, you can find out more about these places. It is just absolutely amazing.
Well, I'm glad you like that part of it. I try to make San Francisco a character in the story.
Oh, you do? You do?
Yeah, for those of you who are thinking about writing novels or writing novels, I use real places, and I think people like that. And, you know, if you want to come to San Francisco and see all the places where my characters hang out, you can do that.
Yes, and it's so interesting that you just tap on a link, because I have to confess I am technologically challenged, but your website is so easy to maneuver about. You tap on a link and it what's cool is that it tells you the name of one of your 13 books that that particular location appeared in. So it's kind of like watching a little movie trailer, so to speak. And you know something else on your website that I really, really, as an aspiring author, I really enjoyed are your frequently asked questions. Because right in there, it's almost like writing 101. You answer so many questions, and it's just, I just love it. I just love it.
Well, I'm glad you find it helpful. You know, we try to engage with our readers and we try to answer the stuff that we don't have a chance to talk about frequently when we're, you know, home typing.
Sure. And you know, one of your questions, and I know this would come up in a live appearance, which hopefully we're getting back into. How did you start writing? How did you do it? Everybody, any aspiring writer or your readers, they're interested in that. And so I read the answer, but why don't you tell us how you started writing your very first novel, Special Circumstances?
Well, I'm happy to do that. And for your listeners who are thinking of writing stories, you don't need any special training for this. My first piece of advice to aspiring writers is to read a lot and write a lot. And I'm a very unlikely author. In real life, I'm a corporate lawyer with a big firm in San Francisco. I've been doing that for 35 years. I grew up in Chicago. I got a degree in accounting from the University of Illinois, moved to California to go to law school here in Berkeley. And there's nothing in my background that says I should be writing novels other than the fact that I always wanted to do this. And I don't know why. If you talk to other authors, they will all tell you kind of the same thing, which is this is hot-wired into our system.
I think it is.
And, you know, it's a bit presumptuous to think you have anything interesting to say, but you take that leap. And, you know, that's what I did. So I was sneaking up on my 40th birthday back in the mid-late 90s, and I've been talking about writing this novel for years. And Linda gave me a laptop, very nice laptop, and said, stop talking about it. Here's the fancy computer. Write it. And I found out later that she figured I'd quit after 2 weeks and give her the fancy laptop back. But I fooled her.
You fooled her so many years later.
And I worked on that first novel for about 3 years, and I commute to work on a ferry from Marin County, where we live, to downtown San Francisco. So I would try to write for 45 minutes on the boat, going in and coming home, and late at night and weekends. And 3 years later, I had the first draft of Special Circumstances, which turned into my first book. So, you know, there's a certain amount of inspiration in writing stories, but there's a whole lot of just flunking yourself in a chair in front of a computer and typing every day. And for those who are thinking about writing, you know, my objective every day has never changed, which is 3 to 5 double-spaced pages, 5 days a week.
You know, and that is so true. And writing is such a solitary profession. But if somebody, and I'm sure, again, were to ask you, well, how do you do it? You just sit down. And when they ask me, you just sit down and write one word at a time. So here we are a few years later, and you are up to your 13th installment, Last Call. So just to give your readers and fans a little preview, a little trailer, Mike Daly gets an early morning phone call from his beloved Uncle John Dunleavy. So this book also starts out with a great hook, a bar, a body, a bloody knife. So I love the book, but you know I love your books. But I felt I really liked that the book involved Mike's family members. So would you like to talk a little bit about Last Call?
Sure. You know, to me, the 13 books are one long, ongoing story. You know, it's the saga of Mike Daly and Rosie Fernandez, who are criminal defense attorneys in San Francisco. They are ex-spouses. They get along better now that they're not married. They have two kids who in the early books are very young, and now they're young adults. And, you know, it's the stories are about Mike and Rosie and challenges that are thrown at them and how they handle them and how they come out on the other side. And this book, you know, they're murder mysteries. I mean, you know, they're courtroom dramas, but they're really murder mysteries. And in addition to the sort of the through plot line of a murder behind a bar in San Francisco, it's the story of how Mike interacts with his family. His uncle's owned this bar for 60 years, and his uncle was his mom's brother and his dad's best friend. And, I kind of joke that it's, you know, the Godfather without the violence. It's all about the family.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my readers says I've created an entirely different subgenre called the legal thriller cozy.
Oh my. Now that's left very interesting.
Left to my own devices, I wouldn't even bother with the murder. I would just talk about the family stuff because that's what everybody's interested in.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You know, and I joke with people that, you know, they should just read the first chapter and the last chapter because that tells them where Mike and Rosie are a year later.
And I think I read probably on your website that folks actually look for Uncle John's bar when they're in town. So that's amazing in itself.
That's true. That's one of the few locations that is not real in the book. But everything around it is real, but there's a gaping hole on Irving Street in San Francisco where Big John's bar would be.
Well, maybe you should do something about that.
Maybe.
The bar up. You never know. But anyway, I thoroughly enjoyed Last Call. It was a page-turner, and it was, and like you said, people are interested. We've come to know the family. I love Sylvia. I love her firecracker wit. And the children now are older. I remember when they were smaller. So it's just visiting old friends, visiting family. So it's just really, really a neat thing you got going there. So let me ask you a question, talking about family. Have you ever been asked about Betty? Can you tell us a little bit about Betty? I mean, is she a big part of your day, and is she really the boss?
Yes, Betty is our 18-year-old tabby cat who is the boss of the entire house. She sleeps on my desk under a lamp next to my computer most of the day. And she tells me to do my pages every day. Ugh. You know, 18-year-old cats can do anything they want.
I need a Betty. I need a Betty.
She's a stern taskmaster, but we love her.
Well, it's so cool. I will tell the folks out there in Radio Land, Mr. Siegel answers each and every one of his emails. And it's just thrilling. It was thrilling to me to have an author like Mr. Siegel answer my email. And from time to time, you've shared very, very good advice, and I totally appreciate that. But I think that is maybe a big part of your personality, and I think maybe it becomes part of your characters. Maybe Mike Daly is a little bit of you, too.
Well, that's definitely true. I do answer all the mail because I like chatting with my readers because they're a lot more fun to chat with than clients and people on the other side of the transactions I've worked on as a lawyer. I always joke lawyers don't get fan mail. But you know, we've been chatting for, I don't know, 20 minutes. And if your listeners, you know, are curious, I mean, if you read my books, you will hear the sound of my voice. I sound like Mike, and Mike sounds like me. And Rosie sounds a lot like Linda. And, you know, it kind of sounds like Linda and I are just talking to each other in these books after a while. And there are many characters in the books who are now named after, you know, people I've worked with, friends of mine. You know, if you want to be in the book, drop me an email. I'll try to work you in.
Oh,
I like to read the part before I name a character after you. But all the judges in my books are named after my law partners. And so we have a lot of fun with this.
That is that, you know, I think your readers and your fans, what you just said, you know what? Why don't we, and we're about to close our time chatting, but why don't you tell everyone out in Radio Land a little bit about your website, how they can email you, and where we can find your books?
Well, thank you. The website is SheldonSiegel.com. SheldonSiegel.com, and you can email me at Sheldon@SheldonSiegel.com. I really do enjoy chatting with people. All of my books, the easiest place to find them nowadays are on Amazon. You know, if there's a local independent bookstore near you, please support them because we love bookstores and we need them.
Definitely.
But, you know, but particularly given the, you know, the pandemic and everything, it's harder for people to get out sometimes. So, and if you like my stories, I hope you'll contact me.
Well, and once again, your fabulous website, if you go visit Mr. Sheldon Siegel's website, they will get a free, is it like a novella? And it's like the beginning story of Rosie and Mike, correct? First trial, am I correct?
Yes. If you sign up for my mailing list, we'll send you a short story that tells how Mike and Rosie began eons ago at the public defender's office.
Cool. That is so cool. Well, thank you. I am so excited to have had this opportunity to chat with you. And if you're looking for a new author, Mr. Sheldon Siegel has 13 books, and that's what I love. I love that. I can just go from one to the next. So thank you once again. And last call is Mr. Siegel's 13th installment of this wonderful, wonderful series. So thank you for chatting with me, and I'll be emailing you.
Thanks very much, Rita. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay, I think we will go to commercials, and shortly after that, I will be chatting with Sherry, the fabulous Sherry Harris. I'm excited. Wowzer. Okay, bye for now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Radioland. Hey, this is Rita Moreau, and I am filling in as a guest host for the fabulous Patsy with a Z, and I'm just really excited to be here today to chat with you. Usually I do play a role. I do the book buzzes for Patsy, so you probably have heard my voice before. The book buzzes are small little promos for authors, and they tell you a little bit about the book that they have written. So it's just a great way to get to know an author, maybe to get to know a book. Depending on what books you read, I do have reader friends who they read anything. They don't particularly stay with a genre. That's kind of like a writer world word. But they will read anything. So if you're one of those, these book buzzes will help you to maybe pick up a new author or pick up a new book. Now, if you're like me, I like to read a particular genre, and that would be the hard-boiled detective. I just love books written by Mr. Michael Connelly, Robert Crace, and one of my favorite authors, Sheldon Siegel, who I just had the pleasure of talking to this last half hour. I just love those books. And so when I first started writing, well, what did I write about? I mean, if you are an aspiring author or you're just interested in how we get about to doing these things, I took a number of writing classes, of course. And I do recall from those writing classes, the professor, the lecturer saying, write about what you know. So I did. I wrote my first series, the Mary Catherine Mahoney series, about a former IRS agent. Yes, I will confess, I am retired, but I am a retired CPA, and in my prior life, I was an IRS agent. I was an appeals agent. But anyway, that's another story. We don't need to go down that road. But anyway, I did. I wrote about Mary Catherine, and she did her, she used her accounting skills to solve mysteries. So it was pretty cool. And she lived just like I did growing up in a large, loving Greek family. So to get to the point of why I'm here today and so excited, my next guest is Sherry Harris. And Sherry is a fabulous Kensington author. Sherry has carved out a name for herself in the cozy mystery world, another genre, with her humorous Sarah Winston garage sale mysteries, and now the Chloe Jackson sea glass mysteries. And guess what? Today is pub day for the third installment in the Chloe Jackson sea glass mysteries. Three shots to the wind. So, Sherry, welcome, my friend. I love your covers, and I love the titles to your novels, and congrats on Pub Day.
Thank you so much, Rita. Thank you for having me today. It's so fun to be here to talk with you.
That's my honor, my honor, my honor. So how are you? How are you? How's the weather up there?
It's freezing.
Oh, no!
Like 29 degrees. I would love to be down with you in Florida.
Well, come on down. Come on down. In fact, your series, Chloe Jackson Seaglass Mysteries, is set in Florida, is it not?
It is. It's set up in the panhandle of Florida in a fictional town called Emerald Cove, that is near Destin, Florida.
Oh, a beautiful part of Florida. Beautiful beaches. Beautiful beaches. So, since it is Pub Day, kind of like Birthday Day, why don't you tell us a little bit about Chloe Jackson, your main character, and how in Three Shots to the Wind, Chloe finds herself the center of attention, or should we say attraction?
An excellent way to put it.
Without giving anything away.
So, Chloe Jackson was a children's librarian in Chicago, and she made a promise to a friend that if anything happened to him, she would go help his grandmother at her bar in Florida, which is all introduced in the first book, From Beard to Eternity. So now she's been in Florida for 7 months working in the bar with her friend's grandmother. And she goes outside when her fellow bartender calls and says, "You got to come see this." And she sees one of those airplanes with the banners that fly over the beach. And it says, "I love you, Chloe Jackson." And she's just mystified because...
Who wouldn't be?
Yeah. She's dating someone, but they're not even close to saying I love you to each other. So she kind of rules him out immediately. And she keeps getting presents all day. And so Chloe's a runner, so she goes out for a run and comes across a body in one of the coastal dune lakes that is in that area of Florida. And it turns out to be the person who was sending all these gifts to her.
So that's the mystery. That's the mystery. And if you want to know more, go ahead and pick up Three Shots to the Wind. I find it so interesting that your character, Chloe, is a bartender, because I've often thought in the back of my mind, you know, in my prior life, I was a conservative accountant, CPA, and I've often thought, wow, that would be fun. That'd be fun to be a bartender. And I thought, well, it might even be fun just to go to bartending school and learn how to make all those drinks. Well, maybe not. But that just sounds like a fun, maybe even a fun way for a writer to get ideas for writing a book.
It is. It is very interesting. It's one of those jobs that people just tell you things. You know,
yeah, like a beautician or hairstylist. I should change the wording. Hairstylist. Sorry.
Exactly. Some things you want to hear and some things you don't want to hear.
True.
And some things you overhear that you wish you didn't overhear. But that comes in good for a sleuth like Chloe, who is trying to solve a mystery because I don't think this is a spoiler, but her her boyfriend is accused of murdering the person in the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So she wants to find out who really did it, because she just knows that her boyfriend isn't the type of person that would do something like this.
Cool. So you just mentioned a sleuth like Chloe. So would you like to tell our Radioland listeners a little bit about the genre you write in? And correct me if I'm wrong, cozy murder mysteries involve usually an amateur sleuth.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Oh, good.
it's almost always an amateur sleuth. And the hard part, especially with a series, is making sure that the person has a reason to investigate the murder. So there usually is some close tie either to a person in the sleuth's life, or there's some compelling reason that the amateur sleuth would get involved in what is normally a police case. And obviously, we have to suspend disbelief a little bit.
True.
With these types of mysteries. But, I mean, I feel like you do in other genres, too, like thrillers where, you know, the guy or the woman is going for days without sleep and getting shot at and beating up people.
Jumping off buildings and things like that. You know, that's very interesting. A little sidebar. When I first started writing, I think my very first book was like three books in one. And as you go along, you do learn. You learn trial by error, whatever you want to call it. I had no idea until someone smarter than me said, oh, you're in the cozy mystery genre, because I had no idea what I was writing in. It's like, oh, okay. That's good to know.
And they're often, you know, set in small towns.
Yes.
A neighborhood that is within a big city, but where the people kind of tend to know each other more and know each other's business. And I really loved creating this fictional town of Emerald Cove and sort of based it a little bit on Seaside, Florida, my idealized version of it, and also on the town of Grayton Beach, Florida. And they're both lovely small towns, but very popular tourist areas.
Yes.
Very expensive. And so in my fictional world, Emerald Cove is a little less expensive and more affordable.
And, you know, I think readers are interested in Florida, because Florida can be a wacky, wacky state. And we have some authors out there, some of my favorite authors. Let's see, one comes to mind, Mr. Tim Dorsey, who writes about wacky, wacky Florida. So I think people are attracted to reading about Florida. And maybe Floridians love to read about Florida, too, because it's always cool to read about something and you're like, oh, yeah, I know where that's at.
Right. And it's been nice to see more cozy mystery authors are writing about Florida. Raquel Reyes has a new series set in Miami. And
cool.
Tara Lush has a set.
Yes. It's fabulous series.
Yeah. And Cheryl Holland has her series.
Yes.
Glass making series set there. And so I like that it's not. I mean, I love, you know, James T. Hall and all the other authors that set darker stories in Florida, but it's nice to see some amateur sleuths out there doing their thing with the crazy Floridians, too.
And people love cozies because they're just they're easy, and maybe in today's world to read. There usually is, and once again, correct me if I'm wrong, a little romance going on, but it's always like some of it is behind doors. You know, it doesn't get too explicit. Same with maybe the murder scene. So I think folks love to read those type of books. I've heard it said before, it's, you know, when somebody says to me, well, what is a cozy? And I'll say, well, you know, it's like Murder, She Wrote or Agatha Christie. And by the way, congratulations, you are an Agatha Christie Award nominated author. I must say that. So it is kind of cool. It is kind of cool. And I'm sure now that we are moving on, hopefully, fingers crossed, and coming back to live appearances, some of the questions you probably are asked is, well, how did you get started writing?
Ah, that's a good question. I have always loved to write. I've written stories since I was, you know, a little kid and could make up stories. And so my husband was in the Air Force, and we were moving all the time, so I didn't really have a career. And I saw an ad for a short story contest in the newspaper. And so I started writing this book. And it's never been published, probably never will be. It's about a gemologist who lives in Seattle, Washington.
Huh.
And I call it my practice book. There's some good stuff in it, but it still needs a lot of work. And but I would, you know, go out to writers' conferences and meet people and pitch to agents and get many rejections, which I got better rejections as time went on. They were still rejections. And one day, my friend Barb Ross, who writes her fabulous Maine clam bake
mysteries,
sent me a note and said that an editor at Kensington had contacted her agent, and they were looking for somebody to write a garage sale mystery series, and would I be interested? And she knew how hard I've worked on my writing, you know, taking classes, rewriting, taking more classes. And she said, "What do you think?" I said, "Well, I need to think about this." But the next day, I was like, "Oh my gosh, I'd be silly not to try."
You know? Absolutely.
So I got hold of the agent, wrote a proposal for the series, and the editor at Kensington bought it.
Wow!
Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt you. Go ahead. You finish. Oh, finish your story.
He's just been such a great support of my career, and he's the one that wanted us to start a second series. And we batted ideas back and forth until we came up with the Chloe Jackson series. So I've been very lucky.
Well, you know, somebody told me once, luck is hard work meeting opportunity. So, yes, you may have been very lucky. Maybe sometimes I look back and I was at the right place at the right time. But it sounds like you put a lot of hard work into it and the opportunity came your way, especially with Kensington, because Kensington is a fabulous publishing house. And the nice thing about Kensington, once again, correct me if I'm wrong, they will maybe work with aspiring authors who don't have an agent, sometimes it takes a long time to acquire an agent. And if you're my age, you may not have that much time. So Kensington, unlike some of the other big publishing houses, you can get in the door, correct?
I think that's correct. My experience was through the agent, so
yes.
But I think that you're right that Kensington will take submissions that are unagented.
Well, that's a fabulous opportunity for those out there who are thinking of writing or doing more with the Joy on Paper.
Right.
So let me ask you a question that pops into my mind. You are writing for Kensington 2 series. How does one do that? Do you write one day the first series, the second day the Chloe Jackson series, or how does that work? It's hard enough doing one series for me.
Originally, I toyed with the idea of trying to do that, but I soon realized it was easier to just write one book and then go back to the other series.
Ah.
So I even tried, because I've dabbled with like very light Hallmark-type romance that I really hope I can finish one of these days,
mm-hmm.
like writing, you know, the Chloe book in the morning and it in the afternoon. But I find I get kind of consumed by one book and then the other gets pushed to the side.
So do you find in your typical writing day that you are better to write in the morning, or can you pretty much sit down and write anytime? So you had a busy day and it's afternoon and you're like, okay, time to write.
I actually prefer writing in the afternoon.
Hmm.
I'm not sure why. I'm not a huge morning person, for one thing.
And well, so, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. So I tend to work on the business side of the writing world in the morning. Although the closer I get to my deadline, the more I'm focused on writing, and then I write all times of days. But I'm not much for writing in the evening, though, after like 8 o'clock. I guess I just get
that's my bedtime.
Tired.
Oh, that is very interesting. I myself tend to write early in the morning. It seems like when I get up in the morning, that's when I write. And in a way, I wish I could just start in the afternoon, because then I could do other stuff in the morning, like maybe going to the gym, which would be a good thing. But for me, writing in the morning is my way to go.
Right. I think most authors do write in the morning. I've always heard there's something about your subconscious in the morning that, you know, if you go right immediately, that there's some connection there between your subconscious and writing that you might not have later in the day. But
have you ever tried writing longhand just for a little bit? Like maybe, I don't know if you outline there in the writing world, you either outline or you write by the seat of your pants. Have you ever tried doing that? Like I'm calling it longhand with a pen and paper. It's almost like I sometimes feel like, oh, I can actually feel the brain working from my brain all the way down to my fingertips.
Yes, I do that, especially if I'm feeling like a scene isn't working the way I want it to or something. I will go write longhand for a while. And if the weather's nice enough, I love to go sit out on my porch.
Ooh, nice.
Or something, you know, change my location along with the writing that I'm doing. And so I think it loosens something up. It is different. And I'm not much of a plotter. I have to turn in a brief synopsis to my editor.
Those are hard to write.
I've gotten better at them, actually.
I dread doing those.
But I'll do that. And so I have a skeletal outline, which often changes as I go.
Sure.
And it's usually only two or three paragraphs, maybe a page. So
for aspiring writers out there, what would you tell them about two things that are very important, especially if they want to pursue maybe a traditional publisher? What is a synopsis and what is a query letter, which is also very difficult to write?
Oh, they are. So a query letter should be a one-page letter to an editor or agent that you would like to have look at your book. It has to be something that grabs them. It can't be just, I wrote a cozy mystery called Three Shots to the Wind, and would you represent it? You know, you have to pull them into your story, like in a brief paragraph. And usually you have a brief bio and a query letter, and that's kind of what the query letter is.
So difficult to write.
And a synopsis should also be about one page, usually double-spaced, two pages at the most. Again, it's getting your story out there in a gripping way. You don't want to just mechanically say, you know, chapter one, Chloe Jackson gets strange gifts. Chapter two, Chloe Jackson finds a dead body. Chloe three, you know, chapter three. You have to pull them into your story.
Just like a query.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Hallie Efron wrote a great book, which I'm trying to find, called Writing and Selling Your Mystery Novel. And she
perfect.
Kind of addresses both of those things in that. She doesn't give a lot of detail, but I found it helpful, the things she said about it. So it's a great book.
Cool. Very cool. And we're almost running out of time,
but no.
I do want to touch on one thing. Usually in cozies, you find recipes maybe at the back of the book. You have recipes for cocktails, which is kind of cool.
It has been fun, and a couple of them I've adapted from recipes, you know, that I found online. And for Three Shots to the Wind doesn't have an actual cocktail recipe in it, but I am going to make one up.
You know, I think now that would be a great idea, because especially now that we're getting back out, and maybe when you talk at book clubs, I have a particular book club here locally. It's called the Read and Feed. And if there is a drink that is highlighted in the book, that's our drink. So that would be a good thing. So Sherry, I just hate it that we have to wrap up this conversation, but take a few minutes to tell us about your webpage and where we can find your fabulous series. And thank you.
Oh, thank you for having me. Time flies when I'm on Joy on Paper. It's just always...
Well, we're having fun.
Yes. I have my author page, SherryHarrisAuthor.com. You can sign up for my newsletter there. I love to do some giveaways with it. I blog with the Wicked Authors, which is WickedAuthors.com.
Cool.
I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So just about every social media.
And where can we find your books?
They're at any brick and mortar bookstore, or they're online. Kensington Books has them, and you can always get signed copies at One More Page Bookstore in Arlington, Virginia.
Perfect. Thank you, Miss Sherry Harris. So delightful to talk to you. And I hope if I'm invited back as a guest host, we may talk again. So
I would love that, Rita.
Okay.
Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear your voice. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, I guess we better wrap it up in Radio Land. I want to give Big Ed a big thank you. And you know what? At the end of this program, we are going to do one of my favorite book buzzes for another fabulous Kensington author, Carol J. Perry's Till Death. So let's go away with it. Bye, folks. Oh, we still have a few more minutes.
Yeah, keep it going. Just a couple minutes when we pull that up.
We still have a few more minutes. It's a live show. Okay. Okay, Big Ed's giving me some hand signals. But it was just great to be here today. I am just so excited. You have no idea how nervous I was coming to be a guest host. And I called upon my dear mother. My mother's name was Georgia, and she had a radio show, and she had a TV show, and she's up in heaven now, and I know she's doing the same thing. So I called upon her to help me. And also my dear, dear husband, who got his wet angel wings back in December. He was so proud to tell everyone he was the author's husband. So I know they both were here helping me. And it's just been fun. It's just been fun. So I guess here we go.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with today's book buzz. If you are looking for a mystery that you won't be able to put down, then I have just the book for you.
Be My Ghost, a Haunted Haven Mystery Book 1. Cozy mystery fans, you'll be thrilled with Carol J. Perry's Be My Ghost Book 1 in her new Haunted Haven mystery series set in Florida. Maureen Daughtry is a smart, forthright protagonist of this exceptional paranormal cozy. As Publishers Weekly notes in their starred review, Maureen is a breath of fresh air in the cozy world. No ruminating on her looks or past tragic loves. No drowning her sorrows in cookies and cake. It all starts on a cold and rainy day in Boston when Maureen's career as a sportswear just before Halloween, when the department store declares bankruptcy. The former buyer of the year needs to start job searching, and fast. Salvation comes when she receives a mysterious inheritance. An inn in Haven, Florida, a quaint scenic town on the Gulf of Mexico, hidden away from highways and theme parks. The letter from the lawyer doesn't explain why someone named Penelope Josephine Gray would leave her a century-old Haven House Inn. Should she pick up and head south? Why not? Finn, her golden retriever who flunked guide dog classes because he's too friendly, would probably like to get some fun in the sun. Better than walking the cold and wet streets of Boston in October. Maureen hopes it will be a fresh start. She doesn't know what to expect, but what the heck? It's an adventure. So she packs up her car and with Finn, riding shotgun, and a box of Cane's Donuts between them, she heads south. From the way Finn's wagging his tail, it looks like he approves of the move. The lawyer didn't tell her much, just that over the years, many famous people vacationed in Florida, and many of them stayed at Haven Inn. When she pulls up to the old place, she is enchanted by the rocking chairs on the front porch. But within hours, before she can even unpack her bags, Maureen discovers a prominent ghost hunter's lifeless body on the inn's front porch. What was he doing there? Not the welcome she expected. Worse, soon the police have their eyes on her as a suspect. She has no friends in Florida to help her, but some of the inn's everlasting tenants in the form of ghosts offer their otherworldly talents in order to help her solve the mystery. The ghosts, in a refreshing departure from most paranormal cozies, don't take center stage in entertaining subplots such as her efforts to discover why Miss Gray left her the inn keep the pages turning in this fast-paced cozy. The Haunted Haven series will beguile and bewitch readers, and have them eagerly looking forward to further adventures with Maureen and, of course, her pal Finn. Look forward to more fun and mystery in glorious Haven, Florida.